Hello, and welcome back to the Language of God. My name is Stephan Dela Cruz, and I am the Friend of God. Today, I finish with the Friend of God podcast, Part 3. This is a third relationship found in Scriptures, the Friend of God. To this point, I have taught on the King-Servant relationship and the Father-Child relationship. And now we are here, stepping into a new relationship, the Friend of God. Very different from any relationship you have known. We move from the Servant of God relationship, from the Child of God relationship, to the Friend of God. Now, in the culture of God, there are four relationships found in Scriptures. The Master-Servant, also known as the King-Servant relationship, the Father-Child relationship, the Friend of God, then the Bridegroom and the Bride of Christ. This podcast, The Culture of God 101, teaches how these relationships apply to us from the language of God. Now, to understand God, we must learn God's culture. As we learn God's culture, we learn God's language, which gives us the ability to speak the language of God. As I have shared with you in the past, my definition of the word language is this. Language is more than just verbal communication. It's more than just words or sounds. It is the very culture of that people that make up their language. There are different languages that don't use verbal communication. One that comes to mind is body language. We are all familiar with body language. There is the language of love. How about sign language? These languages don't use words, but they communicate. So there is more to language than just a verbal communication. In my definition, it is also the culture of that people. What about the culture of God? Have you ever thought of God's culture? What it might look like? What it might sound like? In this series, I teach and share with you what the culture of God looks like and how you fit in. Because we are talking about God, this is a very deep subject. How can anyone know what God's culture looks like and talk about it? Especially when the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it reads this way, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him." Now, how can we learn God's language if we have never heard it, or seen His culture, or even imagined any of it? Well, if we finish the rest of that scripture, it reads this way, verse 10. "But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. Now we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us." You might ask, why would you need God's Spirit? Well, to learn how to speak the language of God, of course. And this language allows us to be immersed into His culture until it becomes your culture. To understand why God says what He says and does what He does. One of the benefits is this: to know your destiny in this life. Let's join the teaching. So what is it? What is the difference? Well, I can tell you this right now. It's not that you walk with God. It's that God walks with you. Listen to what I just said. God walks with you. Think about that. What will it take for God to walk with you? You know who you are when no one is looking. Are you the same person in public that you are when you are alone and by yourself? Or are you a different person? Can God come and walk with you? You know the true you. Scary, isn't it? Well, if you want to be the friend of God, you must be an adult. You must be mature. This relationship, the friend of God, is not for the weak or the timid. If you thought being a servant was hard, if you thought that being a child of God was hard, you haven't experienced anything yet to match what you will see as God walks with you and you are the friend of God. There is a difference between walking with God and God walking with you. Throughout the centuries, many stories and testimonies have been shared where the person was picked up and carried by God. Literally, the story of the footprints in the sand is one. Most of us out there have heard this story. You see footprints in the sand of two people, and then they only see one pair of footprints. And it's because God says, I carried you through all that. It's a great story, believe me, but that's not a friend of God. Many stories told about how God comes to you to rescue you and help you by reaching into the darkness and giving of himself to find you. These are wonderful stories, and these are part of our existence. But in the friend of God relationship, it's different. That's why you must be an adult. You must be mature, because the relationship of the friend of God is different. Now, some of these stories and testimonies are moments of you walking with God. But it's different when God walks with you and you are the friend of God. In this relationship, the friend of God, you are the one that steps between God and his enemies to defend and protect. That's right, you heard me. You're the one. You're the one that steps up. You're the one that reaches into the darkness to help your friend. So the relationship of the friend of God is very different. The requirements, responsibilities are very different. Because you don't do this as a servant, and you don't do this as a child of God, as a son of God, or as a daughter of God. But these actions are done as a friend. Yeah, I know how all this sounds. How could God ever need your help? Well, it's not about need. It's about the etiquette, or the agreement, or the blood oath of the relationship, the friend of God. And when you understand that and you learn that, you begin to realize that the friend of God carries with them a certain amount of authority and responsibility. You are required of the relationship, if you are a friend, to behave and respond in a certain way. So think about this. How could you ever be strong enough to defend God against his enemies? Let's ask it this way and look at it from this perspective. How could God ever need your friendship? Interesting, isn't it? How could God ever need your friendship? There is a person that walked with God in Scripture. His name was Enoch. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more, because God had taken him. Remember that Enoch walked with God, not that God walked with him. If Enoch's relationship was so intimate as he walked with God that God took him, what would happen if God walked with you? What kind of relationship would you have that God walked with you? How intimate would that relationship be? So what kind of relationship would you have to have with God that God would walk with you? You may think this will never happen, or may think this has never happened, but you would be wrong. If you listen to my podcast, The Father-Child Relationship, you will know it's there for the first time that God walks with you. Remember, you start out as a child, and as you called to your father to come with you, he did. He does. He walks with you. The child says to the father, come and see what I want to show you, father. Come walk with me. Let's run. Let's play. You see, in that relationship, God has walked with you before. Can you see it? Are your eyes open? Yes, God walked with you in that relationship as a child. When you called to God, He came to you and walked with you. Now you know it can be done. God can walk with you. It happened in the father-child relationship, but you weren't taught the language of God and did not understand His culture. So you couldn't see this great thing that was happening, that God walked with you in the father-child relationship. Now in that relationship, you were a child. In the friend of God relationship, you are an adult, mature. So how does God walk with you as an adult? I'll share with you three steps that must take place to be the friend of God. The first step, or the first part of this, is that God must call you His friend. Second, you must learn and speak the language of God. Third, you must know and live in the culture of God. These three steps are the foundation of being the friend of God. As God walks with you, here are a couple things. Let me just share this real quick with you. As God walks with you, here are a couple of things that are part of that friendship. It's knowing the secrets of God. It's having counsel with God. Hear my words carefully, for they carry great weight. This relationship is nothing like you've known before. So those are a couple things that are part of that relationship. So the first step of being the friend of God is that God must call you His friend. Well, we find that in John chapter 15, verse 15, how God calls you His friend. It reads like this, verse 15, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends. For everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Isn't that amazing? In that scripture, Jesus made it clear that a servant doesn't know what his master is truly doing. A servant doesn't know what the king is truly doing. So in the servant-king relationship, there is that distance. But here in the friend relationship, Jesus makes it very clear and says, everything. I don't think I need to give you a definition for the word everything. Everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So there is nothing hidden there. As I said earlier, a couple of the things as part of the friendship relationship is that you will know the secrets of God and you will have the counsel with God. You will have counsel with God. I'd like to use this example of choosing a friend. So the first step is that God has to call you His friend. God has to choose you as His friend. Have you ever chosen a friend? All of us have friends, but there's always that one person that you chose as your friend. Let's use that example. Have you ever chosen someone to be your friend? There's always that one person in every one of our lives. And I'm not talking about a person who's the greatest at everything, or the person that's the best looking, or the person that has all the connections you want or need. I'm talking about that person you saw that had no friend and was rejected. Yeah, we all have been there. We saw that person and they had nothing to offer you as a friend, nothing to gain from that friendship. In fact, it was the opposite. Some of you made them your friend at the cost of losing other friends, but still you chose them anyway as your friend. Why? Why choose that person that just seemed so strange? Why did you do that? Why did you make them your friend? Well, if you think about it, it's because you saw something in them that the others did not. You saw what they could become. You saw value. You saw they needed a friend. And listen to this. When you chose them as your friend, you began to walk with them. That's right. They did not walk with you. So as you began to walk with them, what did you give them as you walked with them? Think about this. What did you give them? You gave them honor because they were seen with you. You gave them respect because you walked with them. You called to them. You gave them protection and a covering because they could call out to you. They could call out your name and you would respond. I can go on and on with these examples. People today, and I'm sure you may have heard this phrase, people today will use this phrase. You don't have to like the person, but you have to love them. This phrase has been around for some time, even back in my day. In fact, some people will say it this way, I like you and love you. And that's the greatest compliment they can give you, that not only do they love you, but they like you. But here's the thing. They have to love you, so that's not so great. The part that makes it great for them is that they choose to like you. Now, imagine that God said that to you, or imagine you overheard God saying this to someone about you. I don't like you, or I don't like that person, but I have to love them. I have to love you, and I have to die for you. How would that make you feel that God said to you, I don't like you, but I have to love you? Not so good, is it, that God would say to you, I don't like you? Well, let's look at it from the language of God, because the word like doesn't exist in God's vocabulary. In fact, the word like doesn't exist in God's culture, but the word love does. So let's take a look at what the word love is in the language of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of when it has been wronged. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Love is always hopeful, and love endures through every circumstance. Love will last forever. To be a friend of God, first, God must call you his friend. And if you are walking in that relationship, the friend of God, it's not about liking someone. There's only one thing that we have as a friend of God, and that is we love. There is no other. So as I've shared with you, the first step is that God must call you his friend. And Jesus made it clear in John chapter 15, verse 15, I no longer call you servants. Listen to that. I no longer call you servants. That relationship is done with. It's pushed aside so that you can mature and move into this relationship. So God says, I no longer call you servants. And if you remember what the definition of servant is there, it's not the word servant as we know it today. It's actually the word slave. And if you've listened to my podcast, The King's Servant, then you know this, you understand this. So here is God changing our relationship with him. And then he clarifies why he stopped calling us servant. He says, because a servant does not know his master's business, but I call you my friend. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Isn't that awesome? Now, when God chose you, right there, God chose you as his friend. He begins to walk with you, just like when you chose a friend and you began to walk with them. Now, God has chosen you, and God begins to walk with you. What did God give you as he began to walk with you as a friend? Well, God gave you his honor. You received authority. You received a covering because God is walking with you. Not as a king, not as a master, not as a father, but God is walking with you as a friend. Imagine that. God walking with you as a friend. And from that relationship, God's glory and honor begins to cover you because God chose you. You didn't choose God to be your friend. God chose you. He saw something in you. He saw something greater that the others could not see. And God went out of his way and said, I no longer call you servant, but I call you my friend. Now in that scripture, John chapter 15, verse 15, Jesus said that everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you, my friend. Because a servant doesn't know what his master or his king is doing. So what are the other things that come when God walks with you? Everything. Everything that Jesus learned from his Father, you have access to. It becomes part of you. What did Jesus learn? He knew how to walk on water. He could raise the dead. He knew how to enter into the presence of God. He healed the sick. He would converse with angels. He had learned how to command the wind and the sea. Legions of demons feared him. I can go on and on. All the things that Jesus had learned are now made known to you as the friend of God. So are you mature enough? Are you an adult to walk as a friend of God? And these are just some of the things that God has given you as he walks with you as a friend. What a relationship, the friend of God. And you must always remember something, that God chose you. You did not choose God. You did not choose him to be your friend. Now, the second and the third step of being the friend of God are these. Second, you must learn and speak the language of God, which if you are doing and have been listening to this podcast, the language of God, then you are already doing that second step. You're learning to speak God's language. Third, you must know and live in the culture of God. As you continue to listen and learn here at the language of God, you will learn about God's culture. But you must open your Bible and begin to read, not study, just read of how God dealt with his people throughout the centuries. And as you read, you'll begin to see God's culture. If you don't have time to read, then download the Bible in a form that you can listen to it wherever you're at. And simply just listen to the Bible and begin to listen how God dealt with his people. And you begin to understand God's culture. Now remember, you're not looking to study the Bible right now. You're just looking to read the Bible, just looking to listen to the Bible right now. And the studying will come after. You must become the friend of God. And what's expected of you on your side as you mature, as you become that adult, as a friend of God? You will become the friend that brings honor. You will become the friend that speaks God's language. You will become the friend that lives in God's culture. This is where it begins for you, the friend of God. Are you ready? I hope you've enjoyed this podcast, The Friend of God Teaching. Please join me on my next podcast as we continue the language of God and God's culture 101. I'm working to have more content available. When you get a chance, check out my website at thelanguageofgod.net. If you enjoyed this show, please share it with one person this week. If you have any comments, you can connect with me at Facebook or by email. You can find this information at my website, thelanguageofgod.net. When contacting me, please include the show title you are commenting on. Go and enjoy life. I encourage you to live. Break free of the things holding you back and live. Shake off the chains that hold you down. Rise up, dust yourself off, and get back into the race. If you thirst for life, come and drink from the river of life and live again. I invite you to drink from the river of life and live again. Have a great day, and remember, you are not alone.